Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Mem Beis. We start today on Mem Aleph, Amar Aleph, from where we left off yesterday. And the Gemara is going to discuss a couple of matters that are not necessarily related to Shabbos, Ocha Shabbos, and Vishal. But when we get back to the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, we're going to resume the topic of Hilchos, Shabbos, and Vishal. The Gemara starts off on the very top line. Amar Rabbi Zira, Ana Chazis for Rabbi Abosh, Yinich Yadav Keneged Padav Shamatav Lo Yadani Inagi Lo Naga. Gemara just yesterday ended off with a discussion of going into a pool, going into a lake on Shabbos. Certain parameters where it would be okay to wade through a puddle on Shabbos. Swimming in a lake is prohibited on Shabbos. Mid Rabbanan. And so the Gemara now is going to digress for a couple of minutes on the topic of modesty and the rules of modesty when walking into or out of a lake. So Rabbi Zera says that I saw Rabbi Abo, that what he did is he covered himself, meaning he was walking into a lake, and not Shabbos, in other words, it's just Hilchot Snias. He was walking into a lake, and he was covering his Panav Shamata. So he's covering his privates. Now, I do not know whether he actually touched his privates or not. So Pshita de lo naga, the Gemara says, now it's obvious that he didn't. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer kol ochiz bama mashin kila mevi mabal olam. So we just did the Gemara Nida, the second parak of Nida, beginning of the second parak, where the Gemara talks in very serious terms about the prohibition of a man not touching himself. So Amar Abaye asau kabalasha. So wait, before we get to Abaye's answer, so how can you even have a doubt as to whether Rabbi Abba touched himself or not? It's clear he didn't. He couldn't have. Right, the Gemara speaks in Nida that it's kilu mevi mabul. It's like you're bringing a flood to the world. So Amar Abaye also kabalasha. So Abaye says, well, under certain circumstances, okay. Meaning, stam for a man to touch himself, that's usur, as the Gemara Nida relates. But under certain circumstances, when the person is nervous, so then it would be okay. Now, first of all, we're going to be introduced to this idea that under certain circumstances, when there's a lot of stress, pressure, nerves, so then it would be okay, really under a totally different circumstance, but we're going to then draw the idea back to us. Now we learned in the Mishnah. A Mishnah of Avodah Zarah describes the following. Let's say I have a band of soldiers who are now in the city and running through the city. So if it's a time of peace, so basically we're going to say the following. Now, these soldiers in question are not Jewish soldiers. Wine that they handle and touch is going to become stam yenam, it's going to be aser. If the barrels are open, so those barrels are going to be aser. If the barrels are closed, those barrels are going to be mutter. Bishas mechama, however, if it's mechama, which means it's wartime, it's stress, it's everyone's running around, it's frantic, there's panic. Elu ve'elu mutaros. So all barrels are going to be fine, meaning not only the closed ones, but the open one as well. Lefishein panay lanaseach, because in the middle of battle, so who's got time to do a little nisar chayayin?
Right.
Now, maybe you want to argue, well, you know, they want to, you know, offer something to their gods while they're, you know, in battle. Maybe a little, you know, divine help, but divine over here, I mean, of course, lowercase d, not uppercase d. Right, we're talking about idolatry. But, okay, in other words, but the Gemara assumes that when there's panic and when everyone's frantic, there's no time for nisar. Chama, kevin to be easy. Just wait. Kevin to be easy, lomanaschi. Ha chenami, kevin to be easy, lehuri. So the Gemara says, so it must be the same thing over here, that the person's walking into the lake, and, well, let the Gemara describe it. I was about to describe it. V'hachamai b'yisusa, b'yisusa d'nahara. You're walking into the lake, and as you take every precarious step walking into the lake, it's not like a nice ramp going down into the lake, but rather it's you're walking over rocks, on top of rocks, so it's precarious. So it's possible that maybe Rabbi Abba was touching himself, was holding himself, and as far as the Isser of Kol HaOches that's mentioned in the Mishnah Nida, maybe it doesn't apply over here because there's so much else going on and there's so much stress levels going on that under these circumstances, perhaps it's okay. Ibn? Yeah, okay. So the Gemara now goes the other direction, meaning to a certain degree, you need to be proud. A man needs to be proud of his bris milah. So, lokasha akinach is hakisalak. So the Gemara says, well, look, you gotta, there are two conflicting ideas over here. Man should be proud of his bris milah, and then, of course, there's the idea of tznius. So the Gemara says, so we'll create the following compromise. When you're going down into the river, and so therefore you're not facing anybody, and so therefore there's no issue of tznius, so therefore you should remain uncovered. When you're going up from the river, and so now you're facing everybody, so now there's an element of tznius. Yehadu Rav Ashachi and Rabbi Zera Zakib. The Gemara now describes how Rava bent over, in other words, while he was going down into the river, in order to enhance his level of tznius, and Rabbi Zera Zakif and Rabbi Zera stood upright. Rabbanan de Beiravashi ki kanachte zakfe, when they would go down into the river, so they would stand upright, meaning there was no issue of tznius, because they were not facing anybody, and ki kasake, but when they came up from the river, shachi, they would bend over as to enhance tznius. Rabbi Zera, have a kamishlame medrav Yehuda de Baal HaMesek La'aret Yisrael. Rav Zera was a Zionist. Rav Zera was running away from Rav Yehuda because Rabbi Zera was avoiding Rav Yehuda because Rav Zera wanted to make Aliyah. Okay? And does that mean to say that Rav Yehuda was anti-Aliyah? And the answer is yes, he was. So Avakam Hashem and Rav Yehuda, the Baal HaMesek La'aret Yisrael, the Amr Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda had a statement which is called La'olam Mibavel La'aret Yisrael. You leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael over Ba'aseh, you're violating an Isser Aseh. Now, when we're saying an Isser Aseh over here, we don't mean a formal Isser in the Torah. Torah does not say anywhere, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, if anything, the Torah says, do go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? In fact, debate amongst the Rishonim whether it's one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, but one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is to go to Eretz Yisrael and live in Eretz Yisrael. So this position of Rav Yehuda is fascinating, where he says that don't go. And not only don't go back to Eretz Yisrael, but I'll find you a source. Now the source is not from Chumash, it's from Yirmiyahu, but it's a source. Shenamar Bavel Yavo V'shama Yiyu. The Pasuk says that you're going to go to Bavel, and you stay in Bavel, and don't come back. By the way, I mean, obviously, encoded in Rav Yehuda is, don't come back until I say you can come back. But in other words, but don't come back. Okay, it is super fascinating, meaning Yirmiyahu was writing after the Chorban Rishon, but before the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So, and we were called back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So much to think about in terms of, and obviously big ideas over here in terms of going to Eretz Yisrael, not going to Eretz Yisrael. But for our purposes, however, let's just stay with the story. So now Rabbi Zera says, look, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. I know I'm going to displease Rav Yehuda if I do so. I know he's against it, but I'm going to go anyway. And by the way, what right does he have to argue with Rav Yehuda? So, I don't know if I have really the answer to that question, but I will show you Rashi. Rashi, alongside the Gemara right over here, writes as follows. What about that Pasuk? What is Rabbi Zera going to do with that Pasuk? So Rashi writes, Rabbi Zera, Amar Lecha, Haikra, B'Klisharis Ksiv. As far as that Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Bavel Yavo V'Shami Yiyu, that's only talking about the Klisharis. Klisharis is to be exiled out of Israel, and don't bring back the Klisharis until I say so. Meaning, don't build the Beis HaMikdash until I say so. But in terms of people going back to Eretz Yisrael, please, invited, encouraged. So that's how Rabbi Zera is going to learn the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So it says Rashi. Amar, so now, back to the Gemara. Amar, Ezo V'Eshma Mine, Milsev Aisiv Aisik. So before I leave Rav Yehuda, even though he will not be in favor, but I do want to hear shir from Rav Yehuda one more time. So I'll go to Rav Yehuda, I'll hear one last shir. So now he goes, now this is not necessarily shir, but what we'll call this is Maisa Rav, meaning his Rav behaved in a particular way, and that, you know, in other words, if your Rebbe behaves in a particular way, you know that that's in fact the halacha. So he visited his Rebbe while he was in the bathhouse, and probably, or obviously, the reason why the Gemara brings in the story over here is because we've been talking now about the bathhouse for the good part of the last couple of days. The Kamal Lishame, now he said four things to his attendant. This is Rav Yehuda. Number one, Evili Neser, Ani Neser, it's a kind of shampoo. It was made out of dirt, so, but it was some chemical used for cleansing. Evili Masrik, bring me a comb. Pishu Pamaichu Vafiku Havla. Now, when we're in the steam bath, in the steam house, so open your mouth and swallow and ingest the steam. And finally, number four, v'ishi mimai debeibani, drink some of the bath water. I can't imagine that we're talking about the bath water that he's currently sitting in right now. I don't imagine. Maybe from right from other waters in the bathhouse. And Rabbi Zera says that's wonderful. Meaning, look at all the halachas I just learned. Now, Bishlam Havir Nesavio Masve Kamashman Dram Shechumot Olam Rambalashon Kodesh. So, first of all, can you speak Hebrew in the bathroom? Yeah, sure. Meaning, Rav Yehuda did. And if Rav Yehuda did, it must be that it's okay to speak Hebrew. You might have thought that speaking Hebrew in the bathroom, even though you're speaking mundane activities, is prohibited. That's not the case. So, you can speak Lashon Kodesh even while you're in the bathroom. Number two, Pizchu b'maychav afik havla nami kiddushmol damashmol havla mafik havla. Meaning, if you want to schwitz well, so you gotta ingest the steam. So by ingesting the steam, you'll do a better job sweating. And while you're in the bathhouse, in the steam house, you're interested in sweating. At least you might debate bani maimal yusa. Drinking hot water, how is that going to help? Detani, the Gemara says, we have a braisa. Achav lo shasa, achil asadam. Let's say you ate, but you didn't drink. The Gemara says that's terrible. It's like eating blood, meaning there's no value, there's no health value in eating without drinking. In fact, if you want to experience some wonderful GI issues, so make sure to eat without drinking. Okay, so you got to eat and you got to drink. That's part one of the braisa. How about eating and then just doing nothing after you eat? Just sitting around after you eat. The Gemara says also terrible. The food is just going to sit inside of you, stagnate inside of you, spoil inside of you. And that produces bad breath. Because now that stale food has nowhere to go. It's not digesting. And so therefore, it's going to come back up. And it's going to turn into bad breath. Let's say you need to go to the bathroom, and then, without relieving yourself, you go ahead and eat. Gemara says, also terrible. It's like heating up an oven, but you didn't clear the ashes out from the previous burning of the oven. So here, you're eating, but you didn't clear yourself out from the previous eating. And now, you're going to have a general body odor. If you bathed in hot water and you didn't drink from the hot water, it's like an oven where the oven was... what's the word? It's the finishing action of the oven.
Purge
the oven. Kiln? Am I saying it right? Whatever. She'isiku mibechutz v'lo isiku mibifnim. Heating up the oven from the outside, but not the inside. Meaning that when you are in the bathhouse, so obviously you're producing great heat from the outside, but you want to create internal heat as well. Now, finally, after taking a really hot bath, what you should do afterwards? You should take a cold shower after that. And if you don't, meaning you ever see those smiths, they work on the metal, so they heat the metal up really, really hot, they hammer it, and then the next thing they do is they put in cold water, right? It strengthens it, it hardens it. Same thing with a person, says the Gemara, says the Braisa. That after you take a really hot bath, so now you're good and soft, but now you got to get hardened. So how do you do that? You take a cold shower right afterwards. Rachas v'losach dam l'mayim agabe chavis. And then bathing and then not applying any type of oil on you afterwards, it's like water over the barrel. Meaning you're pouring the water over the sides of the barrel, but none of the water is going to go into the barrel. And apparently by putting oil, so that water stays inside of you. It's a way of hydrating your skin. Okay? We continue the Gemara. We're now in the bottom of Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, and we're back to cooking on Shabbos. Okay, now, you remember what we discussed back in the earlier Mishnayos. We talked about preparing food in an oven and leaving the food in the oven. So what we talked about in the beginning of the third parak is Shehiyah. Unless the fire has been swept to the side, or ashes are put over the top of the coals, so you can't leave food on a fire going into Shabbos. Now, there's an opinion of Chananya, like we discussed in the beginning of the third parak, who says that as long as the food is cooked to Ma'ichel ben Drusai, so then it would be fine. Okay, that was all discussion regarding food, shihi on food. Now we're going to talk about your water urns. Meaning, we want hot water on Shabbos. Okay? We want hot water on Shabbos for drinking, for washing our hands, washing our feet, washing our face, right? Remember, we discussed earlier, that's fine, right? Not kol haguf, not your entire body, that's also midrabanan. But in other words, you want hot water going into Shabbos. So you want a hot water urn. So in the good old days, without electricity, so how'd you keep that water hot over the course of Shabbos? So they're smart. They're necessity is the mother of invention. So they had these apparati, that basically kept water hot over the course of Shabbos. But you had the concerns of Shehiyah, much like you had the concerns in the beginning of the parak regarding food. So certain water urns are fine, meaning there's no Shehiyah issues, and other water urns are not fine. Pictures are worth 1,000 words. I didn't bring pictures with me. I'll try to describe it, but we're basically going to talk about different types of water urns. So the first one we're going to talk about is a mulyar. So mulyar hagarav chosen him in a b'shabbos. If you have a mulyar, words garav. So that means to say as follows: you heated the way it works is that this mulyar is basically a big urn. There are pockets on the side of the mulyar, and what you do is you put the coals into the pockets on the side. Okay, ingenious. And so now basically what you've done now is you've created the heat source along the side of the pot. The Mishnah says that as long as you sweep the coals out, you're fine. So then you can use this apparatus on Shabbos. Shosin emenu b'Shabbos antichi afagav shegrufa ein shosin emenu. But meanwhile, there's this thing called the antichi. It's another type of apparatus. We'll describe it in just a moment. Where even though you swept out the coals, it's still, you can't use it on Shabbos. It produces so much heat that even when the coals are swept out, you can't use it. You'll remember back in the beginning of the parak, we've talked in these same types of terms regarding ovens. Remember how we talked about different types of ovens? We learned about three different types of ovens. A kira, a tanur, a kupach. Well, what do we say regarding the tanur? Basically the same thing. Meaning the tanur retains too much heat, and even if I swept the coals to the side, I can't use the tanur over the course of Shabbos. I can't leave food neither in the tanur nor on top of the tanur going into Shabbos. Hagam over here, same story. This antichi, which we'll describe what it is in just a moment, because it retains so much heat, even if I swept the coals out, I can't use this type of urn on Shabbos. So first of all, the Gemara starts off, Heichidami Mulyar, Hagarav Tanamayim Mimifnim, Begachalmi Bachutz. Okay, like I was trying to describe. Where it's an urn, pockets of metal pockets are on the side of the urn, and the coals are placed into the metal pockets on the side. So as long as you take the coals out before Shabbos, you're fine. Antichi, what is that? Rabba Amar Bekire, Rab Nachmar Yitzchak Amar Bedudi. So the Gemara gives two suggestions in terms of what the antichi is. There's two opinions in the Gemara, Rabba and Rab Nachman. Now Rabba says it's a Bekire. The way Rashi describes this is that it is Basically, we're going to create a wall right in the middle of this urn. On one side of the urn is where you put the water. One side of the wall is where you put the water. On the other side of this wall is where the coals go. So, in other words, they're right. It's like a twin urn. One side for water, one side for urns. This is what's called the Bekiri. Now, obviously, if you can imagine, that means that there's a lot of coals because the coals fill up one entire side of the urn. And because now it is so hot, and Rashi describes the wall that separates them as being very thick, and so therefore that wall itself now basically becomes the heat source. So now because it is something which is mosif hevel, even if I were to take the coals out, you can't use it over the course of Shabbos. That's how Rabbah understands what this antichi is. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, it's a beidudi. Now Rashi explains this, describes this as the following. We're basically side by side, but not vertically, horizontally. Meaning that there's a layer on the bottom, there's like a little opening on the bottom, where what you do is there's a little compartment where you open up, you put the coals on the bottom, and the water goes in on top, right over those coals. Not on top of the coals directly, obviously. You don't want that. This is water. But in other words, there's a bottom and there's a bottom below that. So the coals go between these two bottoms and the water is placed on top of that. That's what's called the Beidudi. Yeah. Now, Mandam or Beidudi Kol Shekein Bekira. Now, we know the Antichi is Aser. Okay? And we have two interpretations of what the Antichi is. Now, if you go with the second, with the Beidudi, now, that does retain heat, but not as much as the Beikira. The Beikira, as I described, where they're side by side, and the wall between them is really thick, and that generates a tremendous amount of heat. So if you think the Antichi is the Beidudi, you for sure are going to also the Beikira as well, as the Beikira itself generates more heat. But if your definition of what the Antichi is the Beikira, meaning only in that case is it going to generate so much heat, but the Beidudi is going to be fine, meaning that you could use. Tanya Kavasa to Rav Nachman, the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa, going with this latter pshat of Rav Nachman. Anticha v'apishak group v'ktumah inshosim emenem ibnei shenechushata mechamemata. The nechoshes, the iron, has been so heated up by the coals, so the iron itself becomes now a source of heat, and so therefore you cannot use it on Shabbos. Okay, which would mean then that would only be regarding the Beikiri, but the Beidude and the Mulyar, those would be fine. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. On the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Hamechem Shepinu lo yitin l'tocho tzonein, bishvil sheyicham avonotin l'tocho l'tocha kos kedei lafshiram. Now, it's not 100% clear what this Mishnah means. The Gemara is going to offer two explanations of this Mishnah, but let's just at least go over conceptually what the Mishnah is trying to relay to us. Cooking water on Shabbos is a no-no. It's bishul. It's aser. Really, not much to think about. But how about just simply taking the chill out of water? I'm not going to raise the temperature of the water over the point of Yatzel Erezbo. That's bishul. That's aser. But I just want to take the chill out of the water. And so basically now we're going to talk about as a methodology in which I'm going to have a little bit of heat, and to that I'm going to add a lot of cold. And with a little bit of heat and a lot of cold, so essentially what the net result is going to be is that I'm going to end up with warm water, lukewarm water. And so essentially what the Mishnah is telling us is, that's fine. That you can do. Good, that's the concept. Now the details of that concept now become a little bit unclear. I want to read the Mishnah one more time, and then we'll see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to offer two interpretations of what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah reads again, HaMecham. So the Mecham is a water urn. Okay, it was obviously on the fire at one point in time. Shepinuhu. Now Shepinuhu means it was cleared. Now when I say it was cleared, so it's not clear what was cleared. It could be that the pot was cleared off the fire, or it could be that the water was clear from the pot. Okay, and those will be for you your two possible understandings of what the Mishnah means. We'll go through the Gemara inside. The Gemara will go over both possibilities. Lo yitein l'tocho tzonin b'shul sheyichamu. Now, even though let's just simply suggest right now, it means I took the pot off the fire. You can't to put a little bit of water into this now boiling pot. That you can't do, because once you put a little bit of water in, that water is going to cook. Remember, this is a kli rishon. This pot was on the fire. This has the ability to cook. So if I put a little bit of water in, even after I've taken it off the fire, I've just violated the malacha bishul on Shabbos. Avanosin usocha ulusocha kos kedei lahafshiran. But I can take it and put it in a cup in order to just simply take the chill off the water, to warm the water. Now, what exactly does that mean? So let's go through the Gemara inside. The Gemara really will guide us through this Mishnah. So my Kama, meaning the Gemara's opening question is a very simple one. How do you understand the Mishnah? Amar Avada Bar Masna Hachi Kamar. The Pshat in the Mishnah goes like this. Hamechem Shepina Miminu Mayim Chamim Lo Yitein Latocho Mayim Muatim. Okay. So the first Pshat belongs to Rav Ada, and Rav Ada says that when we say Pinahu, we mean you clear the water out. So in other words, essentially what you're left now with is simply a hot pot. Pot was taken off the fire, water was removed from the pot, and so now you have essentially a heating element. But say it's a heating element, it's not on the fire anymore. It's off the fire. So lo yitein l'tocho mayim muatim. So here's what you can't do. You can't put a little bit of water into that hot pot, kidei shechamu, because what's going to happen is that water is going to cook and you just violate malach avishal. Aval no yitein l'tocho mayim merubim kidei lahafshiram. But what you can do is you can put in a lot of water into that, and you, in order to simply take the chill off the water to make the water lukewarm. Now, I do, in other words, one of this, I don't know if it's a smaller issue, but you can imagine as you're pouring the liquid into this hot pot, that very first liquid that makes contact with it, right, can't you imagine, can't you like freeze frame that moment and say that that little liquid is going to be cooked? I guess you can make that argument, but the Gemara says no, because we don't look at it piece by piece, even though in other areas of halacha we do, right, the concept of kama batil, right? But over here the Gemara just looks at the pouring in its totality, and because the net result is going to be that water is not going to get cooked, it's just going to, the chill is going to be taken off of it, it's fine. But the Gemara says, but let's take another aspect of this story into consideration, which is the following. I just poured cold water into a burning hot pot. So this, we described this just earlier this morning, meaning that's part of the action of a smith. What a smith does is that he heats up the metal really, really hot, and then he shapes into whatever shape he wants, and then he puts it into cold water. So what do we call this in the world of halacha and Shabbos terminology? What are we going to call this? Makeh bepatish. Meaning it's the final touch of creating a utensil. So can't you argue now that if I'm taking a hot pot on Shabbos and I'm pouring cold water in, so as far as the act of bishul is concerned, you're fine because the water is not getting cooked. The water is just simply getting to room temperature or even a little bit above it. But it's not cooking. But what about the pot? Meaning, don't look at the water now. Focus on the pot. Aren't you now doing the finishing touch to the pot? What the Gemara refers to as siruf, the last action of what a smith would do to his metal. Valo mitzarif. So the Gemara is responses. Rabbi Shimon Hidam, Adav Hashem, Miskavin, Mutter. Well, Gemara says that's easy because that's not your intent. Your intent is not to finish the pot. Your intent is just simply to take the chill off the water. And this is what's called a davar she'eino miskaven. This is all on Shabbat. Now, immediately what should come to your mind right now is, wait a second. All right, we all know the Malchus and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. We've started already a number of times before. It's just like the ABCs of Shabbos. Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon by Davar She'eino Miskaven. An unintended act on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda says it is aser. But we also know, the Gemara says it time and again, that if it's a psik reisha, if it's inevitable, so then mod de Rabbi Shimon will agree that you cannot do. So in other words, even though it's an unintended act, but it's inevitable, so then it's going to be aser. So over here, the Gemara kind of ignores this fact that when I'm pouring the cold water onto the hot pot, so the Gemara says, no, don't worry, it's Rabbi Shimon, it's the davar she'eino miskaven. Isn't it a psik reisha? So the Rishonim are bothered by this question. I will just simply show you Tosos right now. Tosos, the big one, of Mecham. So just pick my spots. Vitzarech Lomar, it's the second wide line in this Tosfos. It's right in the middle of the line. Vitzarech Lomar, Dolav Ipsik Reisha, Sheyachol Liyo Shalol Yitzarev, Debipsik Reisha, Amod Rebbe Shimon. So Tosos just says very simply, what you're going to have to say in our Gemara now is, it's not a Ipsik Reisha. Meaning, remember now, this is the pot that you're cooking with. Probably was already cooked and heated up and cooled down once before. So over here, this action of pouring the cold water in the pot may not necessarily be the finishing act of this pot. And so therefore, let's not say it's a psik reisha. It may be, but not to say necessarily.
The pot is already finished.
Agreed. Okay, so this is... Okay, so what we have now arrived at is our first pshat in the Mishnah. Our first pshat in the Mishnah goes, Shepinuhu, I clear the pot. What does that mean? It means I clear the pot from its water. So what I'm left with is a really hot pot. And what I can do on Shabbos is pour a whole bunch of cold water into that pot in order to take the chill off that water. Good. That's pshat A in the Mishnah, and that pshat belongs to Rav Ada bar Maskev. Second pshat in the Gemara, Maskev L'Abai, made the Mecham, Shepina mi menu mayim ketani. Abaye has a linguistic issue. Read the Mishnah again. Mishnah's not saying pinu mi menu mayim. I removed water from that pot. Mecham shepinahu ketani. The only what seems to be modified in the Mishnah is the pot itself. So Elam Rabbi, so now we're up to the second pshat of the Gemara, Abaye's pshat, which is Hachikam Ramechem Shepinuhu V'yeshbo Mayim Chamim. So here, the second pshat of the Gemara is that I took the pot off the fire, but there's still water in the pot. Then lo yitein tocha mayim muatim b'shul sheyicham avanotel tocha mayim rabim kedei lehaf shiram. Now, it's almost going to be the same identical conclusion. To pour, but there's water inside. To pour a little bit of cold water inside, that's a no-no, because that little bit of water is going to get cooked. To pour a lot of cold water inside that pot, that's fine, because that water is not going to get cooked. It'll just get brought up to room temperature or just a little bit above it. But here's the difference between Pshat A and Pshat B. Umechem shepinami menu mayim lo yitein l'tocha mayim kol ikar mibnei shemitzaref. But according to the second Pshat, what if I took all the water out? Can I now put in cold water, even a lot of cold water? No. Why not? Because you're finishing the pot. You're doing the last act of preparing the pot, because the pot was molten hot. I don't know about molten, but in other words, the pot was super hot, and now I just cooled down with cold water. I did sirif on the pot. Now, but it's a davar she'enam is kavein. It's something which is unintended. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, yeah. So, but according to our second pshat, our Mishnah is not following like Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is following like Rav Yehuda. Davar she'enam is kavein is aser. Okay. So, really, in concept, the Mishnah, Pshat A, Pshat B, Rav Ada's Pshat, Abaye's Pshat, they're basically the same. That if I throw a whole bunch of water in order to just simply warm the water up, but not to cook the water, that's fine. The only difference between them is, what if the pot is empty? And can I pour a lot of cold water into an empty hot pot? So if you're holding like Rabbi Shimon, the answer is yes, you can, because it's a davar she'enam is kavein. And if you're holding like Rav Yehuda, no, you can't. Because because davar she'enam is kavein is aser. Okay. So Amar Rav lo shana lahav she'ev al tzarif aser. Now, the Gemara is going to basically present us a machlokas amarayim, which is going to seem to be, it may in fact be, the same machlokas that we just learned, perhaps. This idea that I can pour cold water, that's only lahafshir, that's only to remove the chill off the cold water. Avalatzarif, but if I'm interested in finishing the pot, meaning taking this really hot pot and cooling it down with cold water, that's aser. Ushmul amar, filatzarif nami mutter. And Shmuel says, you want to do tzarif on Shabbos, that's fine. Huh. To which the Gemara says, are you kidding? What? Letzarif lechatzchila mishare. You can't do that on Shabbos. That's makeh bepatish. What is Shmuel suggesting? So Ela Yidma Achit, the Gemara says, you're right. So whoever presented this machlokas, the first version that we just went through, that's not right. So Amrav lo shanu al shir lahav shir val shir letzareif aser. So now the Gemara presents like this. Depends how much water you put in. If you put in enough water just to take the chill off the water, that would be okay. But if you put in the amount of water in order to create siruf, that would be aser.
Different
quantities of water. Now, what kind of quantities are we talking about? Really,
small one it would cook.
Really, an interesting Rashi. Look at Rashi to the side. El shir lahav shir v'lo letzarif kagon shalom ilehu kulam. The way Rashi describes the Gemara like is like this. This is again our explanation of Rav's position. Look, I have a really hot pot. There's no water in it. I took the water all out, and I have a really hot pot. So how do I know if I'm just, and I want to pour cold water in, how do I know if I'm just want to take the chill off the water versus I actually want to cool down the pot? Well, if I wanted to cool down the pot, I would fill it, says Rashi, all the way to the top. If I want to just remove the chill off the water but not finish the pot, so I won't fill it up all the way to the top. I'll fill it up 50% of the way, 60% of the way, but not all the way to the top. Okay, it almost becomes now counterintuitive. Meaning the way Rashi is explaining our Gemara right now, it's that less water you put in is better. Because if I put in cold water and it's all the way to the top, certainly the water won't get cooked. But then you have the other issue of tziruf, of the act of makeh bepatish regarding the pot. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, if I put in, let's say, 60% high to the pot, so I haven't cooked the water because I poured in a lot of cold water, and I also haven't done sirif to the pot as well. Okay, it's a little counterintuitive the way Rashi describes it. Ushmol amar filo shir letzarif mutter. Now, Shmuel's of the position, if you want to pour, again, I'm going to explain it like Rashi. If you want to pour cold water all the way to the top, that's fine. That's okay. What about the fact that you're doing sirif? Yeah, but that's not your intent. Your intent is just simply to take the chill off the water. And, as we know, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says, is that true? Shir letzarif mutter. Lememra, we're on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. De Shmuel ke Rabbi Shimon Tzvira Lei? Do you mean to tell me that Rabbi Shimon is hold? I'm sorry, that Shmuel is like Rabbi Shimon. V'amar Shmuel mechabin gachal shal matachas bershos harabim b'shvil shelo yizoko barabim avalog gachal shal eitz. Says Shmuel the following. Let's say I have the following. Out in the street, I see there's glowing hot metal. Okay, and it's Shabbos. But I understand that the public traffic is walking back and forth over this, and someone may step on those glowing hot pieces of metal and really burn themselves. So Shmuel says that on Shabbos, what you can do is you can take water and put it over the top of the glowing hot metal. Now, aren't you extinguishing a fire? So the answer, of course, is no. It's not a fire. It's hot metal. So that would be okay, says Shmuel. However, avalo gachelo shel eitz, but you cannot do it to gachelo shel eitz, to wood. Meaning if there is glowing hot pieces of wood, and now I poured water over the top of it in order to cool it down, says Shmuel, you cannot do that on Shabbos. Now, let's take this step by step. It's going to get a little bit complicated, but if you follow it well, you really enjoy this next piece of Gemara. Now, what's the difference between metal and wood? So Rashi points out over here the following. Because by metal, if I take hot metal and I cool it down, that's not kibui, that's not extinguishing. So basically now, we're looking at best at an Issa d'Rabbanan, and Isuri d'Rabbanan, we could be more lenient, especially if there's a public hazard where someone's going to step on the glowing hot metal, and I'm not violating a malacha medaraisa. It's an isra derabanan. So an isra derabanan will move out of the way if there's a public risk. Fine, but now we talk about the glowing hot coals of wood. Where there, by extinguishing it, I just violate an isra derabanan. And therefore, I cannot do it on Shabbos. Okay, now, watch carefully. I'm going out to the street. I see glowing hot coals of wood, and extinguishing it would be an issur d'oraisa. Now, so I take water on Shabbos and I pour it over the hot coals of wood. Is that really a malacha? Let's remind ourselves what we learned earlier in the Masechta. A malacha is only when I'm doing a malacha for a specific intent.
Creating
right?
Something different out of it.
Well, in other words, there has to be some sort of positive result in which what I'm doing. Here, I'm extinguishing for one reason only. I don't want somebody to get hurt. Meaning all I'm doing is removing a condition that I do not want, but I'm not actually creating a positive scenario, a positive situation. So that's what's called a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Now, do you remember that we had a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda regarding malacha she'ena tzricha legufa? Rabbi Yehuda says, malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, you're chayev, and Rabbi Shimon says, a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is pater. Pater lava aser, but it is pater. It's exempt from Torah liability. So now, let's really think this through. I have hot coals of wood out in the street. Why can't, according to Rabbi Shimon, why wouldn't I be allowed to put cold water right over the top of it? Meaning, did I violate malacha d'oraisa, according to Rabbi Shimon? No. It's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. And there's hezek rabim, meaning it's a public hazard. So according to Rabbi Shimon, why not pour cold water over the hot glowing coals of wood in order to save the people from a public hazard, and the only thing I'm violating over here is the Din D'Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Shimon. So therefore the Gemara, and let me say it outside and then I'll read it inside again. And therefore the Gemara concludes, so when Shmuel says that if I have hot coals of wood out in the street, and I can't pour water over it, so you know what it must be? Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that even though it is a malacha shein etzrich lagufa, even though my only intent is not to create something positive, but to remove an unpleasant condition, and it is a malacha shein etzrich lagufa, it must be that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda regarding a malacha shein etzrich lagufa.
No, not like Rabbi
Shimon. Not like Rabbi Shimon. In other words, the fact that Shmuel says it's aser. Right, Shmuel says it's aser. The fact that he says it's aser must be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that you're violating an Issa Daraisa. Otherwise, if it were just an Issa Darabanan, he would allow you to do it in order to save the public the public risk.
Well, the house is on fire.
We'll have that discussion later in the Masechta. Right, it'll come back to this issue as well. Okay, Now you have to understand, in order really to understand, appreciate this Gemara really clearly, you got to understand there are two different issues. One issue of Malacha Shein Tzrich Laguf, and there's another issue of Davar Shein Miskaveh. Right. Now what Shmuel is telling us regarding the don't put out the coals in the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, that's a Malacha Shein Tzrich Laguf issue. Meaning you know exactly what you're doing, you're putting out the coals, but why am I putting out the coals? I'm putting it out so nobody gets hurt. That's a Malacha Shein Tzrich Laguf. And what the Gemara now will do is make the following leap of assumption. If Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, well, it's got to be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda by Davar Shein Miskaveh as well. The Gemara thinks that those two issues run side by side with one another.
Can you distinguish between those two concepts?
It's very simple. I mean, we go through this over and over again. The more times you hear it, the more like starts to process and digest. A malacha shein tzrich lagufa, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm clear about what my intent is, but the only question is, why am I doing it? So in other words, here, a malacha shein tzrich lagufa, I'm taking, let's go with the Gemara's classic example. There's a dead body in the room. I pick the dead body up out of the room, and I take it outside, and I put it in a Rishus HaRabim. I know exactly what I'm doing, but why am I doing it? So if I'm doing it to get an object from point A to point B, that's the malacha. If I'm doing it just simply because I don't want it here in point A, but I want it out of point A, that's a malacha shein tzrich lagufa. By davar shein miskaveh, I'm not even intending to do the malacha. That's not even my intent. My intent is to do something on Shabbos, which is totally permissible. I'm dragging a bench on Shabbos. Now, what may happen over there is I may make a hole in the ground, but that's not even my intent. So I'm not even intending to do a malacha. Right?
Once it's
you hear it again and again, you start to really process. So now let me read the Gemara inside. Because this is what the Gemara is doing. The Gemara now is assuming, well, if Shmuel by Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa is going like Rav Yehuda, gotta be that he also agrees with Rav Yehuda by Davar Shein Miskaveh. So this is now where the Gemara made that leap. Well, if he goes like Rav Yehuda by Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, it's got to be that he also holds like Rav Yehuda regarding Davar Shein Miskaveh. And our issue over here of putting cold water on a pot, my intent is not to, I don't want to manipulate the pot at all. My intent is just simply to cool the water down. This is what's called the Davar Shein Miskaveh. So the Gemara says, let's now make the split. B'davar Shein Miskaveh Sava Laka Rabbi Shimon, B'malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa Sava Laka Rabbi Yehuda. And here we go. The Gemara now makes the split. The Hava Mina was that these two concepts and ideas were linked. Now the Gemara is telling us, no, they're not. Shmuel, on the issue of Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, he goes like Rabbi Yehuda. And on the issue of Davar Shein Miskaveh, goes like Rabbi Shimon. And oh, by the way, this leads the way for the Rambam. You know that the Rambam, I told you, he's a minority on this viewpoint, but the Rambam also makes a split. The Rambam says, by Davar Shein Miskaveh, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Shimon, and by Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Rambam's opinion is the Malacha Shein Tzrich Lugufa Yechayv Karban Chatas. Right, and exactly, the Rambam holds like Shmuel. Okay, so the but Davar Shem is okay, good. So like Rav Yehuda. So Am Ravina Hilkach. So now that we've arrived at this point in time, so essentially on the big concepts of Malacha Shein Tzrich Lugufa and Davar Shem Miskavein, it's clear. Machlok is Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon on both. Am Malacha Shein Tzrich Lugufa. Rabbi Shimon says it's Pater of Al-Asr. Rabbi Yehuda says Yechai V'Karban Chatas. On Davar Shein Miskavein, Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutar Lagamrei. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Asr. Shmuel Pasens like Rabbi Yehuda by Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, by Rabbi Shimon, by Davar Shein Miskavein. Good. Right? That we all got. But what we also learned over the course of this whole discussion is that if there is an Isser on Shabbos, which is an Isser D'Rabbanan and not an Isser D'Araisa, and the public is at risk, so then you can violate the Isser D'Rabbanan to save the public. So Amar Ravina Hilka Kos Bereshus Rabim. So the Gemara gives just a very simple scenario, another case resembling. Let's say you find thorns in the street on Shabbos, Bereshus Rabim, or thorns, nails, right? Something which is hazardous to the public. Molicha Pachos, Pachos Midal Amos. So on Shabbos, what you can do is you can pick it up, move 3 amos, put it down. Pick it up again, move 3 amos, and put it down. Why? Because I didn't violate an Isser D'Araisa. It's so funny. It sounds like from our Gemara that had it not been for the public risk, I would be violating Isser D'Rabbanan. Remember, we talked about this in the very beginning of the Masechta. Moving an item less than 4 amos in Rishus Rabim, is that an Isser D'Rabbanan, or is that no Isser at all? From the context of our Gemara, sounds like it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. Right? You hear that? Because the Gemara is allowing you to do it only because you're saving public. You're saving the public. Uvek Karmelis. Now, let's say these thorns are in a Karmelis, meaning not a Rishus Rabim. Carrying in a Karmelis is an Isser, but an Isser D'Rabbanan. I feel a tuva. So there, pick the thorns up, move them away. Nobody steps on them. That you can remove. Right? Simple. Another example of this, very simple example, happens in my house pretty much weekly. Right, you break a plate. We go through plates. You break a plate, now it's on the floor. So in other words, now of course it's muksa, but someone's going to get hurt. So if somebody's going to get hurt, so you sweep it, you move it away, take it out. Okay, in order to save the public. Aval nosein. Let's go on in the Gemara. Tanu Rabban nosein adam cham l'tocha tzom lo tzom l'tocha cham in divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that you could put hot into cold, but not cold into hot. That is the opinion of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai, Omrim, Beit Chamin, L'toch Sonein, Ubein Sonein, L'toch Chamin, Mutter. And Beit Shammai says, no, it doesn't matter whether you're putting hot water into cold water into hot water, meaning both of those would be fine. But Medvar Mumrikos, Vababati Chamin, L'toch Sonein, V'lotzon, L'toch Chamin. And that's only in a cup. But in an ambati, now an ambati is a bathtub. Okay, you don't have to say it's a bathtub, but in other words, it's a much larger tub. So there you could put hot into cold, but not cold into hot.
Wait.
Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Oser. Now Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says that it is Oser. Now first of all, cold into hot, hot versus in cold, what difference does it make? So Rashi over here invokes the rule of Tasa Gavar. We're going to see this when we get to Psachim. And the ions, right? I think. Okay. But the idea of Tasa Gavra is the following. Heat rises. Right? You heard? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara Pesachim says that if I have a hot food on the bottom and a cold food is placed on top of that, there was a transfer of taste. Okay? Tasa Gavra. Because the heat's on the bottom, because heat rises, so therefore there will be an infusion of taste from the bottom to the top. But, says the Gemara in Pesachim, if I have something cold on the bottom, I put something hot on top of it, no transfusion, no transfer of taste. Okay? I'm simplifying, by the way. There's more to the story, but for now, that's fine. So the way Rashi explains our Gemara over here is that if what I have is cold water on the bottom, and I pour hot on top of that, that's fine. But if I have hot on the bottom, I pour cold on top of that, that's not fine. Why? That's the way Rashi understands our Gemara. Okay. What's the difference between coast versus ambati? So Rashi explains like this. A coast, generally speaking, is a klisheni, meaning it means I already transferred this hot water from the urn into another cup. Klisheni. What do we say regarding klisheni? Klisheni is enema vashel. The ambati, however, says Rashi, is usually the original pot in which it's cooked in, and that's a kli rishon, and that's the difference between a kos and an ambati. This is all according to Rashi. Please take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos, no saying. He disagrees regarding Tasagavar. He disagrees regarding kos versus ambati. There's much more to discuss, but in the meantime, however, let's just make our way through the rest of the discussion. Amar Rav Nachman Halacha Rav Shimon Manasya. Now the halacha is like Rav Shimon Manasya. Now he just said that it's aser. Now several of Yosef Lemeimer Seifel Harei Kambati. Now, what about a Seifel? Now Seifel is something in the middle. It's not a cup. It's not an Ambati. It's something in the middle. So Amalei Abayi Tani Rabbi Chia Seifel in a Kambati. Now we have a brisa that says, according to Rabbi Chia, that a Seifel is not an Ambati. Now the Gemara says, now before we got to that point, for a moment, the Gemara entertained the idea that a Seifel is like an Ambati. And we also know that a Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Manasya. So now, if you put all that together, you walk away with a bizarre conclusion. You can't wash your face on Shabbos with hot water. Meaning, because what's the procedure? What's the process? The process is that here I am now. I want to wash my hands, my feet, my face on Shabbos. I want to use hot water. And what's the problem? The problem is that obviously the hot water is too hot. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pour cold water on top of it in order to take the sting off the hot water. And so now I'm going to be able to wash my face with this warm water. But it comes out now that if the halach is in fact like Reb Shimon Manasseh says that's aser, and a seifel is like an ambati, I won't ever be able to do this, and I won't be able to wash my face on Shabbos. Gemara says it's an untenable conclusion. Ella b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin leka. Ella b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin leka. So mitzvah Rabbi Shimon Asefa Kai Reisha Kai. So the Gemara says, well, here's what you misunderstood. Rabbi Shimon wasn't going on the last part; it was going on the first part. Beis Olam Atirin beicham l'tochson and beitzon l'tochamin. Rabbi Shimon Manasya Oser son l'tochamin. Rabbi Shimon was going on the Beis Hillel statement, the original statement of the Braisa. So, Lema Rabbi Shimon Manasya Damakeh Beis Shammai. The Gemara says, what does that mean then? It means that Rabbi Shimon Manasya is basically siding with Beis Shammai? Can't be. Beis Shammai b'malkum Beis Hillel in a Mishnah. So, what Rabbi Shimon Manasya is saying is, you misunderstood. There is no debate. Meaning, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree you can't pour cold water into hot water. I'm Ravuna Bereid, Rav Yeshua, Chazin al Rav Adlo Kapit Amana. I saw Rava, and he was a Matbid. So, Midatani Rabbi Chia, Nosinatam, Kito Shamayim, Toch Sefer Shamayim, Bein Chama Toch Sonim, Mitzon Toch Chamen. It doesn't matter whether the cold goes into the hot or the hot goes into the cold, it really does not matter. I'm Ravuna, Ravuna, Ravashi, Domashani Hassan, Demifsi Kli. Well, maybe you could say that there was a break in the action. I'm like, ma'ara itmar. No, not true. He poured it. So ma'ara adam kito shamayim l'toch sefer shamayim bein cham l'toch son bein son l'toch chamin. And the Gemara comes to a very clear conclusion. On Shabbos, you want to take the sting off of the cold water, so you can pour into hot, you can pour from hot into cold, provided, remember, a little bit of cold water into hot, that we said is aser. But assuming that you're going to pour enough where you're not going to be cooking the cold, you're just taking the chill off the cold, so that, the Gemara says, is fine, it's mutter, and you don't have to worry about whether it's hot into cold or cold versus cold into hot. Adkan. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud.